WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's NAACP asks the Attorney General to investigate the state police killing of a black teenager from Charlottesville. One bill the governor is considering would shed light on racial disparities. And we check in with dozens of nurses being trained at UVA to give COVID vaccines. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 11th. Virginia's Attorney General is considering a request from the state conference of the NAACP to review the fatal shooting of a black teenager by state police troopers following a high-speed chase. The NAACP asked Attorney General Mark Herring to review the evidence in the January 9th shooting of Xavier Hill, who was 18 years old, and issue a report of the findings. The teenager was killed during a confrontation with two troopers following the pursuit near Goochland, about 50 miles southeast of Charlottesville. The organization's request comes 2 weeks after a grand jury decided not to bring criminal charges against the troopers, finding that they were justified in using deadly force because Hill did not comply with orders and he brandished a weapon, among other reasons, according to state police. The NAACP called for a probe to be handled by a special prosecutor or an independent review committee. Herring's office says it is considering the request. Governor Ralph Northam is considering hundreds of bills lawmakers sent his way. One would shed light on racial disparities. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When lawmakers are considering any bill that would cost any amount of money, they receive a fiscal impact statement. But what about bills that might have a racial or ethnic impact? Delegate LaCherise Aird of Petersburg introduced a bill earlier this year to get at that issue, allowing chairs of House and Senate committees to ask for reports on how criminal justice outcomes might differ along racial lines.
For a racial and ethnic impact statement, we are looking at contributing factors that would cause a particular policy to have an adverse impact on one group of people over another.
Ashley Kenneth at the Commonwealth Institute says lawmakers should know just as much about racial disparities as they do about financial burdens.
Just as we assess impacts to our state budget with fiscal impact statements, we should also assess impacts to people in our state. With this legislation, Virginia will join at least seven other states in creating and using a tool that will help enact criminal justice policy that will not worsen racial disparities.
Delegate Aird says she hopes the governor will sign the bill, adding that it would complement the governor's agenda on racial equity. Michael Pope.
A federal appeals court will reconsider Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax's libel suit against CBS today. Fairfax accuses the network of airing biased interviews with women who levied sexual assault allegations against him in 2019. From VPM in Richmond, Whitney Evans reports.
CBS had exclusive interviews with the accusers, Meredith Watson and Vanessa Tyson, who say Fairfax assaulted them more than 15 years ago. Fairfax alleges CBS failed to investigate the women's claims. A federal judge dismissed his lawsuit early last year, saying he didn't find malicious intent. Fairfax, who's running for governor, says both encounters were consensual. He frames the allegations as a form of modern-day lynching and says he's been treated unfairly.
The media steadfastly for 2 years has refused to investigate and refuses to acknowledge the allegations are false. And that's injustice.
There have been no criminal investigations or charges filed. Democrats in the General Assembly declined to hold a public hearing on the allegations, fearing it would be a political spectacle.
Whitney Evans, WMRA News.
Finally today, with more vaccines in the pipeline, experts predict more of us will be inoculated against COVID-19 in the next few months. At some Virginia schools, nursing students are stepping up to help. They're already on the job at VCU and Radford, and dozens more are in training at UVA. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
Pam Cipriano still remembers the first shot she gave as a young nurse more than 40 years ago.
Needles were not disposable. You had to guard against hitting a blood vessel. The mechanics were more clumsy because of the equipment.
Today, the dean of UVA's nursing school says technology makes things easier for nurses and less painful for their patients.
The good news here is the very tiny needle, and it's very quick.
Still, there are tricks to the trade. Assistant Professor Vicki Southall has been working with 48 students in their final year of a bachelor's program, fine-tuning their techniques by injecting a small gel-filled pad and learning what to say to real patients.
I would tell them to relax their arm.
What are some ways you could get them to relax their arm?
tell them to just drop their hand, like let it dangle.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to wiggle their fingers. And then I just dart it 90 degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure not to touch the needle. And then cap it and then put it in the sharps.
Mm-hmm.
The target for injection, 2 or 3 fingers down from a bump at the end of the shoulder known as the acromion. Simulation debriefer Samantha Hudgens can't always tell by looking, but she can feel for the muscle where COVID vaccine should be injected.
I'll say, just can you raise your arm up to your side? And you can actually feel that muscle tense up if you use the palm of your hand to lift up.
Technique aside, students wonder how much to tell their patients. Should they, for example, discuss possible side effects?
All my friends that had already gotten it got really, really sick. And then all the older individuals I know didn't. So I asked my vaccinator and they were like, no, you'll be fine. They lied. I thought I had the flu for 3 days.
Cipriano tells the students to be honest. It's okay to talk about your personal experience, but important to share the facts based on data and to explain that these side effects are not illness, but an immune response, proof your body's ready to fight infection.
Within the first 12 hours, you might begin to experience these first side effects, and you can expect that they would last 24 to 48 hours. You know, for the most part, within 2 days, you're totally back to normal.
With 1 in 5 Americans getting information about the vaccine from Facebook and 40% learning from friends and family, nurses play an important part in public information. Professor Emma Mitchell says they'll need to answer a range of questions and address lots of bad information.
Things like if people can receive the vaccine if they're pregnant, if receiving the vaccine makes you infertile. There's a lot of misinformation that's circulated in the community.
The students admit to some nervousness as they prepare to go public. But Renaya Majid, Nicole Chun, and Naomi Element say they're ready.
I think it's just exciting to help provide some light at the end of the tunnel because this pandemic has been exhausting.
It's just a really awesome opportunity to get trained and given vaccinations, and also we're like helping the community.
I have a lot of friends at other schools and all of their experiences are online, and I'm really grateful that I get to build my skills and not be behind a screen all day.
And Majid, who hails from Roanoke, was so gung-ho that she agreed to spend a very special day in training to administer COVID vaccine.
These are the only shots that I'll be dealing with today on my 21st birthday. So.
In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Hausman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected. And I hope you enjoy your Thursday.